Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I will have to say, though, that we are getting there, praise the Lord, with all the help of everybody. We have the uprights all up. We have the steel up. We have the trusses sitting on top of it. And we're beginning to put, the purlins and stuff up. We're beginning to get there, slowly but surely. It's a little bit of hard work, but we're getting there. It's definitely we're going to have a building there before we know it. We got to have a building there by the end of this next month. That's the whole thing. You know, we have to be out of here, and we got to be in the dry out there. I'll try my best to have electricity in it. And we'll do the best we can. So we do what? We have a candlelight service. Hey, we can do whatever. We're going to be there, though, aren't we, Eldon? I get tickled at Eldon. Now, I had to have somebody to unhook the chain. Of course, it's about 25 feet up in the air. And, you know, he was up on this big sky track on a platform up there. And he said, I feel useless up there. I said, but Eldon, somebody's got to do that job. So we'd send him up there. He'd hook the chain and we'd lift him way up there on top of that thing. Yeah, he was way out on top of that thing. And we're picking those trusses up, as you can see. We're picking them up there. We're going to set them in place. And then after we got it in place, and while I'm welding the things and all that stuff, well, he's up there on top of the platform taking a nap. You know, he just lays up there and takes a nap. And so anyway, we had a lot of fun. I will have to say we had a lot of people out there helping us. It was really great. We just had lots of fun. It's a real fun time of building a building and being under the pressure, but we're not letting it be no pressure. You know, we're just working from can to can't. You know, I will have to say that I found out how much Jack knows about his equipment. He offered to let us use that big Skytrack, that big machine. And I asked him, he said, but I'll even have it delivered for you. I said, well, man, that's fantastic. But he said, I can't get this thing down there until next Tuesday. And I said, oh, goodness, I want to get those things up before Tuesday. So I said, how much does it weigh? He said, oh, I'm in 10,000 pounds. I said, okay, I can just haul that on my trailer. So I went up there. It's about 60, 70 miles up north toward Bonham. So we drove up there with our truck and trailer and loaded it on. And no problem, we get about 10 miles down the road and we break a spring and ruin an axle. So we had to unload it and go to Bonham. Jack come along about that time and he took me back to Bonham. And I didn't even take a lug wrench. So we had to go get a lug wrench and a jack and some tools to get it fixed where we could pull it home. So we go up there, and when we get up there, he says, you know, I think by the time we get that trailer fixed, we may be hungry. So he said, I think I'll go down here and buy us a big bucket of chicken. I said, okay. So we went down, and he bought us a great big bucket of chicken, and we all had chicken on the trailer. You know, when we got back, we had a good time. You know, we did get the thing jacked up where we could get it, and we did get home with it. We limped it home with a few little problems. We got home, and then a friend of mine up the road, I'm trying to call everybody to find out who has a trailer big enough to carry this thing on. And finally, Jay comes by, and he says, well, you know, my uncle's got one, and he just lives, you know, right up the road. Well, I bought a couple of tractors and stuff from him. So we go up there, and he said, sure, Thurman, no problem. You can use my trailer. And I said, well, I guess I'll have to come get it in the morning because it's going to be dark before we get back tonight, and your trailer plug won't fit my truck. He said, no problem. I got a 2005 Dodge out there who can just use truck, trailer, and everything. So we went out there. See, God's good, isn't he? So then Jay, he went with us to drive. So I didn't even have to drive. And so we went up there and got the track. Skytrack got back about 10 o'clock that night. And the next morning, we got out there. And, of course, I had to run up to Bridgeport then and take my truck in the daytime and get a load of sea purling. So we did all that and come back, and then about 11:30 we started putting those things up, and then last night we had those things all up there. It was a lot of fun. You know, we had a lot of fun getting them up there. Everybody was working together. I got tickled at Keith over there. He told me, he says, by the time we get this building built, he said, I need one about this size for a woodworking shop. And he said, since y'all learn how, you could build me one. I said, oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, two or three of the guys said, I'd like to have a building this size for a shop, you know. So everybody was, I thought, I guess we're going to have to stop preaching, go into the building business. I don't know. So, praise the Lord. But anyway, we had lots of fun. We're working diligently and everything. We're going to get it dried in. You know, we will have our first service there the first Sunday in December. Who knows what kind of conditions it will be in, but you'll just have to make out, however. But we'll have fun, and every Sunday it'll be better. You know, there'll be something new every week because we're going to be working on it. But we're getting there, and because of people, you know, like Jack, he loaned us that big lift. That's really been a blessing, man, to put those things up there, you know. So everybody that's helped us, there's been a lot of people helped us and give us stuff and loaned us equipment and everything else. And what a blessing it's been to see the body of Christ come together and work. It's really been a blessing. So we're going to look forward to being out there. And, of course, my honey bunny, you know, she came out there a couple times yesterday. And I'd be up on top of that thing with a pair of cowboy boots on, of course, and one leg wrapped around a beam and leaning out like this to wail something. And she couldn't believe she had a monkey for a husband. Yes, not only did different women send food, but the ladies that are out there have fixed food for us. All of us have eaten, all of them. Rosemary, Ayesha, and all the girls out there, as well as those that have sent food. We are so grateful for all of that. Everybody is really...
Also on the slab, we need a whole bunch of extra weight, and they serve that perfect.
Oh, yeah, the girls that afternoon, whenever we were having trouble getting the plastic down, I running in there screaming, I need everybody that's available out here. And so they thought that we were fixing to raise somebody from the dead or something. But they come running out there, and, of course, the wind was blowing 25 miles an hour. We was trying to put that plastic down. And, of course, the girls all got down there, and, you know, they all laid on it and everything else, stood on it and laid on it and everything, had to hold it down until we could get some rocks. But we had a lot of fun. It's been a team effort, I will have to say. But we'll have things to talk about and pictures to look at. But it has been lots of fun, and, you know, we're going to keep pressing on, and we're going to have this thing going. There's some of the plastic. But anyway, it's been lots of fun, and... Of course, I got tickled at the guy that last week when we poured the concrete, one of the guys, they called me Rev. You know, they were four or five black men, you know, and usually black people's vocabulary is a little different than some of the white people. You know, but they instead of calling me Pastor, they called me Rev. You know, so that's okay. You know, not a problem. But one of them, after we got about half through with it, he says, Rev, are you going to preach Sunday? And I said, well, yes, sir, I plan to. He said, man, I can't believe you're a pastor or you're a rev and you can work like this and then you could work. He said, every bone in your body is going to be sore tomorrow. I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. There ain't going to be one single bone in my body that's sore tomorrow. And there wasn't. You know, he just didn't know how good a shape I was in, you know, so praise the King. We could do it, can't we, Eldon? Yeah, we have had lots of fun building this building and we are still having lots of fun, so. But anyway, slowly but surely, we're getting there, and we're going to be blessed. I know God's going to continue to bless us in this building, and I'm believing that this is going to be the building where we're going to be, that we're going to get to the faith level where we can see limbs grow out, where we can see autistic children healed, where we can see cerebral palsy people healed. You know, I want to get there in my walk with God. I'm very unhappy with where I am in my faith walk. I need more faith. You know, I want to continue to increase. You know, I know that the only thing between me and your healing is my faith and your repentance from sin. So if we get that down, we'll be able to see God do great and mighty things. We've already seen him do a lot of things here. You know, he has done a lot of wonderful miracles, changed a lot of lives. But we want to see him do a whole lot more in the future. We want to see thousands of people's lives change. So, you know, something, our church is not what comes here. You know, this is just a little tiny portion of it. You know, right now our tape of the month is exceeded 2,000. So we're sending over 2,000. We have over 7,000 people in our database. And, you know, we've just sent all of them the timely warnings as well as miracles, healings, and of course in the process of getting all those DVDs and CDs out, we've had lots of people call us that hadn't talked to us or called us in years. It's amazing how people can hear and they come and they get healed, and then 3 or 4 or 5 years later they're still healed, but they forgot where it came from. You know, it's amazing. I wish people wouldn't forget Jesus. You know, they forget that He's the one that healed them. They forget you and they forget Him, but I wish they wouldn't, you know, because if they do and they do that very long, they're going to be sick again. And so we don't want that to be. But anyway, I know there's several great testimonies today. I've already talked to some of y'all. Who would like to be first in your testimonies today? Marlene, she's got one. She just come in from out of town and she is on fire. Praise the King. Tell us what happened to you in your trip to California.
It's been phenomenal. I have been out for training seminars, and these are seminars that start at 9 in the morning and go to midnight for 5 days. And then I had a couple days off, and then I did 3 more days. And so people come up to me about the second or third day, and they're just dying. You know, and they're like, how are you doing so good? And I say, well, you get up every morning, and you say, thank you, Lord, for renewing my strength like the eagles. And you know, and then they'll say, you really believe that? And so, well, they came and asked the question. I didn't, you know, I didn't go to them. They came to me, so they got an answer. And then one of the mornings I was in the elevator going down for the breakfast kind of thing in the hotel, and there was this young man in the elevator, and it's really providential. He would say, I just happened to meet this lady. But anyway, I talked with him, and I knew he wasn't from the United States, but I didn't know where he was from. Well, pretty soon he comes over to the table where I'm sitting, and he says, can I sit with you? And I say, oh, yes. Well, it turns out he's 19 years old, his first time in the United States by himself from Holland without his, you know, no parents. And I told him I had sons his age. And, you know, and just let me mother you, you know, just let me mother you a little bit. And so anyway, he's backpacking, and he has a year off of school to decide what he's going to do with the rest of his life. So I said, well, on what basis are you going to decide this? And he says, well, observation and thinking and you know, talking to people that are successful and all this. And I said, well, would you like to give your life, would you like to find your destiny and purpose in life and give your life to a cause that's greater than what most people ever find? Well, I mean, he's like, yeah, you know about that? And I'm like, yeah. So do you know that he had never had the gospel explained to him before?
Wow.
And I mean, he did not even know what the word gospel was. So I had to keep putting it in other language and reversing a little bit, you know, to find a common ground. And I gave him that Larry Moyer's Evantel, May I Ask You a Question? And it has a very basic grace-based offer of salvation in it. And he said, I will take this and read this over and over and over till I understand. He was not ready to pray then, but I gave him even how to call me, how to, you know, find me while he's in the States. But this was huge for this guy. I mean, to have never heard the gospel and to understand what he was hearing.
Amen.
I mean, it was just grand. And then there was another young man, and they sometimes put you in these teams. And I had met him a little bit before, but he had been raised up. He's Canadian from even another country from before that. And he was raised in a very legalistic denomination. I mean, just totally all legalism and no love. So he had found that was not working for him. But the only alternative he knew was the New Age movement. You know, so the counterfeit Holy Spirit, you know, because it's not the Holy Spirit, it's a counterfeit spirit. So anyway, he had gone way too far into the New Age movement, but he didn't know, I mean, he was really stirred inside, it was really bothering him, but he didn't know where the middle was. So I got to talk to him several different times throughout the course of the thing, and ended up going with another woman for a meal with him and all. And what I explained to him was the life that we have here. He's never been to a church where there's any kind of Holy Spirit life, healings, or even just joy. And so he said, this is one of the most profound meetings I've ever had in my life, because he says, you've explained to me what I needed to know to get my life back on track.
Amen.
And then I won't tell you all of them, but one more that you got to hear is just, I mean, and this was almost every break. You know, like people would seek me out. They would come to my table and say, I just have to talk to you. I don't know why. And so it was really fun. So anyway, at the very last night, there was a man there who's a producer of a major TV ministry. And he was saying all the right words, but I just felt like inside of me, he's not even saved. And so I asked him the evangelism explosion question, you know, if you were to die tonight and go to heaven, why would God say he should let you into my heaven? And he just, I mean, it was like everything stopped. It was like his world stopped. And at first then I let him sit in it. I mean, I didn't say a word. And he, you know, and he finally says, well, I've done enough good works to save myself. And, you know, and he could tell that was probably not the right answer. And they said, but, you know, I don't think I've helped enough other people get saved. And I said, can you really help people get saved? And then he says, you know, this sounds really stupid coming out of my mouth. You know, I mean, like he's hearing himself talk and it's not working, you know. And so, but we were very kind and gracious to him, but we're still calling it what it is. And so anyway, he keeps going and he says, well, I don't know. And so I talked to him about the difference. He says, well, I think I believe. And I talked to him about the difference between belief and trust. You know, yeah, I can believe a lot of things, but it doesn't mean I'm basing my life on it. So we went into, the Roman scripture about if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you shall be saved. And I said, have you ever done that? And he's like, well, I don't think so. Nobody's ever told me I needed to.
Wow.
So, no, I mean, he works with Christians all the time, folks, you know, but he's still living a very New Age life and never, not one of them ever asked him these questions.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was just, and the whole trip was just those kinds of things, one after another. And just praise the Lord. Thank him for his goodness,
amen,
his mercy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 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 Miss Deborah's got one. She told me when she came in, she had a great testimony today. So we'll hear what the Lord done for her.
For about 4.5 years, I've been involved in family turmoil in the legal system. And I can agree with Thurman that the legal system is not a place for Christians. Let me tell you, it is a nightmare. And this past week, we finally got everything settled. Praise God. My testimony did not help a bit. In fact, my attorney said, he said, you kind of look like a deer in the headlights. I mean, there was just so much. It was so complicated, and never in the history of the legal profession of my attorneys had they ever seen this kind of case where a jury stayed out for 5 hours to decide the case.
Wow.
But God had his angels in place, the destruction that had been trying to destroy me and my life was not allowed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Everything that we needed to happen, happened.
Amen.
In the most unusual ways.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
My attorneys, I'd been working with this group of attorneys for 2 years. Throughout the last couple of weeks, I'd been working with them more intensely. And they're tremendous Christians. And the attorney's wife, before we went in for the final showdown as such, she said, Deborah, you're the bravest individual I've ever seen in my life. And I was like,
thank you,
it's
Jesus.
Not me. It's not me.
Amen.
There were so many wonderful things that happened in this 4.5 years because other family members whose walk is not where it should be saw me press on.
Walk in love.
And never waver. And their opinions of me and the influence that they saw and it had in their lives has transformed them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then even while in the midst of the trial, while we had a 2-hour break because the judge had to go do something, we had a family crisis. My sister-in-law who had been... really kicked out of the family the same way my brother and I had been. But she had been kicked out through the process of a divorce. And she had 2 young sons who were very young at the time of my father's death. They're now very angry young men because in the process they lost their grandfather who loved them, they lost their father, and they really basically lost their grandmother because she was the instigator behind the situation. So this single mother has been trying to raise these boys. I've been trying to help her with them because they're very angry teenage boys now. And the night prior to this incident, the night prior the incident happened, and when she came to the courtroom that day, she was very upset. And her son had been caught with beer and marijuana or whatever, so she was trying to reason with him. He took off, running down the alley, jumped over a fence. The man that lived in the house came out with a shotgun. She got there just in time to stop him from shooting her son because he didn't know what was going on.
Oh, wow.
So he was protected. Well, she, as any of you would know, when you have children, to come that close to losing a child. Well, I was able to minister to her through these 2 hours that we had. And she said, Debbie, she said, you've been the only one that's been there for me. And she said, and I've watched you all these years, and everything that I see in you, I now want in my life.
Amen.
So we were able to spend the time together with me telling her the power and the faithfulness that God brings to our lives.
Amen.
Because she's been in such fear. And she says, I just see the peace that you have, and I want it.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Through all of this journey, through all that we went through.
Praise the Lord.
He did it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He did it. Praise the King. I mean, if you haven't realized yet, your life is going to be a series of trials and tests. You know, it's just the way life's going to be. It's not going to be any other way. So if you think that becoming a Christian is going to take you over into a bed of roses and everything's going to be just perfect, forget it. Let me bust your bubble now. It ain't going to happen. It's going to be a series of trials and tests. And that's why what God does. He gives us all these trials and tests. And through this, He is training us and developing us to come to a new place in life. And when we master our set of trials and tests, then He says, okay, now I've trained you where I want you to be. And bam, He takes you out and brings you to heaven. So it's all over. So anyway, just remember, there's going to be trials and tests. Is there any other testimonies before we quit? Okay, I'll get you next, Kemp. I'm sorry, John raised his hand too quick.
Sorry. I was at a Bible study Friday night, and this young man brought this Muslim girl. And near the end of the meeting, she says, "You know, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm supposed to be a Muslim, you know." And after the meeting, I asked her, "Hey, have you ever read the Quran?" She said, "No, I don't read Arabic." And I said, "Well, they have it in English, you know." She goes, "Yeah, but my father." My father said that if it's not in Arabic, it does, you know, they translated it wrong. You can't really get the truth, you know. But, you know, it was very evident that the Spirit's moving on this young lady. She said she's coming back. And I grabbed her friend afterwards, and I said, when she comes back, we're going to speak directly to her conscience. We're going to take her to the law. We're going to bring this young lady to the Lord.
Amen.
So God is moving in the Muslim community and in every community.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Praise God.
He's moving in the whole world. Praise He is, just Kemp. Praise the King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. On that note, I had a client and he was a Muslim. So he came in, got his consultation, and then he just disappeared. And, like, he was supposed to come and leave a deposit. And then he would, I would call him, Mr. T, hi, this is Kim. And then I won't hear from him. And then he called me and told me he was in the hospital. And then I remember the DVD on Smooth Stones. Mm-hmm. So one day he said, Kim, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I was like, okay. So I went to the salon and I waited. And he never showed up. So you know, the Holy Spirit told me don't take it personal. So I said, okay, Holy Ghost, maybe God wants me to minister to him. So I called him on the telephone, and I left a message. And I said, hi, Mr. T, this is Kim. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you.
Amen.
And then I hung up the phone, but I didn't hear from him. So that was one testimony. And then the other testimony was, I am born again. I mean, it just hit me. And I was like, I'm born again. And the Holy Spirit was showing me, before I was born again, I used to have attitude problem. I used to try to get over. I used to cheat, lie. I used to do wrong things. And but when I got born again, I don't do those things no more.
Amen.
So I was like, oh my goodness. I said, precious, I'm born again. And then it's like the Lord, he's showing me of the cross, like his whole purpose on why he came.
Amen.
And he was sharing me about John the Baptist, how great he was, because he was a prophet, and he got to see the Messiah.
Amen.
And, I mean, all of it, it's like the gospel is coming together to me, and I'm, like, so excited. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for showing me that I'm born again.
Amen. Praise the King. Praise the King. Praise the King. Anybody else?
Seems like the whole theme of ministering to Muslims and Israelis and everything is just all today. Well, Friday, my husband has sat on his glasses the night before and broke them, and he's blind without them. So I had to go to get them fixed. And the Lord, I was going to, you know, he says, it's okay, we can wait until Monday. I mean, I can get by with my dark glasses. He is very light sensitive, so he wears really dark glasses. But it was his clear glasses that I had to go get fixed. And he says, well, we have the one vehicle, so he says, you need the truck today. I go, well, I don't know of any reason why I would if I'm not going to have your glasses fixed. And then about 2 minutes before he's to leave the house, you know, the Holy Spirit just so quietly says, you need the truck today. So I go, I think the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, I need a truck today. He's, okay, well, fix my glasses while you're out. Okay, so, and I didn't know why I needed the truck. I just figured, okay, he'll show me. Anyway, I say, okay, and he said, on the way, taking to Love Field where he works, he says, well, why don't you just take them over, get them fixed, and then bring them back and leave them at the security desk so that I can have them as soon as possible. So, okay, I'll do that. So I just went over to the nearest mall where I could get the glasses fixed, and he was thinking, you know, they may not be able to because they were pretty mangled. But while they were, I got them fixed, and then I started walking back through the mall to head to the truck. And this man came up to me and ever so slightly held my hand and started talking to me about how he had a product that would really make my hands nice and soft, you know, these guys down there. And he sounded, you know, he's speaking English, but he with an accent. And I go, Are you Israeli? He goes, yes, I am. I says, have you been here long? No, I haven't. In fact, you're the first person. So, anyway, he started showing me. So I says, you're really Israeli from Israel? And he says, well, yes. And I go, I think that is awesome. You know, my Jesus is Israeli. Anyway, I talked to him a little bit, and I really didn't have the witness to tell him right then, you know, all the things that, you know, we want to tell him. But I said, you know, if we bless you, we're going to be blessed. I just hope you know that. I bless you today. So we were on our way to the truck, and we passed this other place, and it was a hair care product. And I walked up and I was looking at it, and this little lady comes over. She's about this tall, and real sweetly was, you know, asked me, you know, about this product, and I go, "Are you from Israel?" She goes, "Yes, I am." You know, just two in a row, you know. And so it was there that the Lord just had me share with her that she has such a fabulous heritage that I wish I had that. And who knows, I may have Israeli blood in me, because the nations of the world were to be blessed through the dispersal of Israel. You know, and the Old Testament talks about how, you know, people may not even know that they have the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in them, but they'll just know that they're sons of God. You know, and how I was just pouring over this, the fact that she had the background of this, and she goes, "You know, I don't even go to the temple." You know, as if, you know, I'm not even a good Jew. You know? But, you know, it was like she started lighting up, like, "Well, gee, if you think it's so great, I guess it's so great," you know. And I says, and she says, "You know, as we grow up, you know, y'all have the draft for guys, but, you know, as we get to a certain age, we have to give 2 years of our life in the military, and that's women too." And I says, "Well, when did you get out of the military?" She says, "Last month." And then, of course, she came over here. And, you know, I just want to encourage you guys. Y'all need to share. I mean, I found out that they're all over in all the malls. There's a lot of young Israelis that are over here. And they don't know why they're here, but they're here to find out the Messiah has come, and he's coming again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's get in the Word. Praise the King. Talking about Israel, Cheryl and I were supposed to be in Israel today. You know, it's amazing that somebody bought and paid for us and gave us a complete all-expense-paid 2 weeks in Israel, airfare and everything. And then because of what happened, I had to cancel all that. But someday God will give me another one. Anyway, that was a $7,000 trip that I had to lose. But one day we'll go. When he's ready, we'll go. Praise the Lord. Let's come to Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 31. That's where we're going to start. Romans 3, 20 through 31. Talk a little bit about some of the things we talked about last week. But I'm talking about the law versus faith. Now then, I didn't understand this for a long time. I believe I do now, but just like Marlene said, the man that didn't know if he was saved or not, if he thinks his good works is going to get him to heaven, see, he will not get there. So if you think that you're going to get there any way other than by faith in God's Word, you won't get there either. And that's just like healing. If you need to be healed, that's why so many people don't get healed, is because they don't know how to step into the world of faith. They don't trust God. They say they are, but they don't. Now then, I see lots of people that, as I have taught the healing power of God for many, many, many years, and I've seen thousands of people healed, thousands of them. And I've even seen hundreds of miracles, miraculous miracles. But I did them all by faith. And I think about the people that say they have faith, and I, especially men or women, either one, not necessarily one or the other. I'll have someone, like a little lady or a little man, to come to me and say, "Thurman, I know what you teach is true because it's in God's Word. But you prayed for me, and I know I'm believing God, but it's not working for me. My manifestation is not working. I am not rid of my pain. I cannot get healed. I don't know what's wrong. I know the promises of God. I've heard you teach them. I've read them myself in the Word. Exactly what you teach is there, but I'm not getting healed." And I say, "Well, you believe you're totally trusting God by faith." "Oh, yes. I'm believing by faith." I said, "Well, what'd you do with your medicine?" "Oh, I've got it in my back pocket. I got it in my purse." Are you still going to see the doctor? Oh, yes. You know, now God's got till next Thursday. Next Thursday, I'm scheduled for surgery. If God don't show up between now and next Thursday, I'm going to have surgery. But I'm trusting Him. No, you ain't trusting Him. You have no faith. And that's why you don't get healed. God does not share His glory with nobody. So if you want to learn how to walk in faith, you're going to have to learn the difference between faith and the law. And it took me a lot of years to get to the point to understand that difference. As long as I walked under the law, I was sick and afflicted like everybody else. Was I in church? Yes. I mean, I was walking in obedience to God's Word. I was in church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, every Tuesday night, visitation. You know, I was working for the Lord. I was on fire for Him. If you'd asked me, do you have faith? I'd have said, of course I have faith. But I didn't know how to spell it. I didn't know what faith was. I thought I did. But that's just like the people one day that's going to say, hey, like that man Marlene said, in charge of a ministry. In charge of a ministry and don't know that they're really saved. And if they die, I hope my good works exceed my bad works so I can get to heaven. It won't get you there. You will not get there. When somebody asks you, in fact, somebody shouldn't have to ask you, if I died today, would I go to heaven? Nobody should have to ask you that question. You ought to be talking to people about Jesus all the time. When they see you, say, oh, there's that guy, Jack. Oh, Jack, he's that dummy that's always talking about Jesus. You can't be around him more than 5 minutes. He's going to want to know, where are you going to church or what? Now, how would you like to be known like that? Instead of, oh, there's Jack. Oh, he's the guy that always cheats you on your business deals. He's the guy that's always cussing and telling dirty jokes. Now, which way you want to be known? You see the difference? There's a lot of people come to church that are known by their dirty jokes and what they're talking about, and they're really not talking about Jesus. Nobody should have to ask you if you're a born-again Christian. You should be talking to them about Jesus. That should be what's in your heart and on your mouth and your tongue. But this will tell you where your faith is, whether you're living under the faith. Now then, in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what His law commands. In other words, the law commands you do a lot of things. But nobody can ever do all that and be made right with God. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. It's just like somebody will tell you. And I've taught a lot of times about obeying the laws of the land. Romans 13 talks in great detail. And of course, in here, I will tell you, don't speed. But you know what? Not only does that mean don't speed, it also means don't run red lights. It also means don't run stop signs. You know, but how many people do that? How many people have you seen every day on a daily basis where you're going, you get ready to pull out, you see the light turn green, and you start to go out, and whew, they go right by. You know if that light's green there, the one on the other side's already been red for 1 second. First they had a yellow caution light, and then a red light, and when that light turned red, they give you one more second before your light turns green, because they know how people are. Well, for a whole bunch of you, I got news for you. If you haven't looked in many cities at every intersection. In fact, I drove down Main Street in Louisville the other day, and I drove all the way out to 377, which is 10 miles out through Flower Mound, and every intersection I came to had 4 video cameras on every intersection. So guess what? Those are setting up there so that when you run that red light, eventually you're going to get a ticket in the mail. Ain't got to be no cop there. When that thing goes by and that light's red and you go through it, it's going to automatically take a copy of your license plate. They're going to send you a ticket in the mail for running a red light. You're going to start getting them. When you do, you're going to think, what's this ticket? And you ain't going to pay it. And then they're going to come get you. Because you broke the law. Now then, people, average person say, I didn't break the law. Yes, you did. You know, here many times I'll pull up to a light and it's turning yellow. And I'm stop. And it turns red before I get there. And two, three, or four cars go past me on the other side going on through that red light. Do y'all see this yourself? Now, those people all broke the law. They're all guilty. But you ask them, no, that's just the way I do business. They're not guilty, but they are. Now then, God's law, for the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. And of course, first of all, we don't know what the law says. We really don't know today. Christians don't even study the law. They don't know what it says, so it's impossible for them to keep the law. But the more you learn about the law, the more you realize how wicked you are. That makes you realize that you're a wicked person. You know, you have to be careful. You know, did you know that in the law, God's law, it says, no man, no person that takes my name in vain will go unpunished. That's under the law. How many men or women, even in church, I'll hear people, somebody will say something and they'll say, somebody will tell you something and say, oh my God. In church. Have you ever heard somebody say that? In church. You need to be careful how you use his name. He might not have liked that. If you wasn't using it in a term that brought glory and honor to his name, you just broke his law, and he made a statement, you will not go unpunished. So then people don't understand that when they get away from this faith and they fall back under the law, they fall from grace, and that's something else took me a long time to understand, but I now understand that too. But it says now that God, the clearer it becomes we aren't obeying it. For now God has shown us a different way of being right in his sight. Not by obeying the law, but by the way promised in the scriptures long ago. Now, if there's another way, this has got to be good news. Because we can't keep the law. There's no human being ever kept the law. So if God's got another way or a new way of doing business that will make it a little simpler for us, we ought to all want to know about this new plan. Well, there is a way. Next to we are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ. Now, see, that's the thing Marlene said a while ago. We trust totally in him. We trust that Jesus did come to this earth. He did. He was God and he is God. He did die on the cross. He did rise from the dead. The Father did pour out his wrath upon Jesus. And Jesus paid the price that you wasn't able to pay. He did that for you. So you were made right by what Jesus did. But how many people in the world did Jesus do that for? The whole world. All of us. But how many are going to get to heaven? A tiny little percentage. Now then somebody says, well, I'm a believer. Okay, you know, I can't tell whether you really are or not. When it comes down to the law or faith, when you tell me you're a Christian, I really can't tell because I only see you at church. But when you leave here and you go home and you sleep around with your boyfriend, hey, you really don't know the God I know. You have not stepped into the world of faith. And that's where a lot of Christians are living. So every time they're committing a sin, they're falling from grace. And this plan that God's got for you quits working. Just like if you are telling lies and you're telling these things and you're not walking in obedience to his word. Or if you're holding a grudge against someone, you have sinned. And in fact, walking in faith is a very difficult thing. You know, Romans 14:23 makes a statement. We won't go there to that scripture right now, but I'll just quote it to you. Romans 14:23, Paul's talking about eating food. But he says, even if you don't eat your food in faith, it's sin. Then he makes this statement. Anything you do that's not according to faith or the Word of God is sin. Isn't that awful? That anything we do that's not according to faith, somebody says, I'm walking in faith. I don't know very many people in my walk with God that are walking in faith. Very few. There's very few people on this earth walking in faith. But when they say, I am a believer in Jesus, that's between him and you. I don't know that. But if I can be with you for a few days, I can come a whole lot closer to saying whether you know my Jesus or another Jesus. Because if you're sinning, lying, stealing, cheating, and all that stuff makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it, Dave? That's the way you can tell. You know, you can tell. But it says, we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in the same way, no matter who you are, what we have done. So, isn't that good news? So you slept around with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. So you lied a little. You stole a little. You had an abortion or two. You murdered. You did all kinds of things. It makes no matter what you've done. If you come to Jesus, he'll forgive you for all those things and clean you up. But what he expects after that is where we miss it. We get saved today and we walk with God while we're at church and we leave this door and we fall from grace. Right back into the world. You walk out that door, you take the Lord's name in vain. You walk out that door and you tell a dirty joke. You walk out that door, you go home, turn on your television set and watch the things of the world for 4 hours. And God says, study my word and not just read it once in a while. And you never open his Bible. You just fell from grace. You know, anything you do that's not of faith, you fall from grace. And why do you think so many people are sick in the church? Just same reason I was. All those years that I was not walking in obedience to his word. Although I'm going to church. And if you want to know, you could ask anybody that knew me in the years past. Did Thurman walk in integrity? Absolutely. You ever hear him use a word of profanity? Absolutely not. Did he ever run around on his wife? Absolutely not. Did he ever lie or steal anything? Absolutely not. Did he go to church every Sunday? Absolutely, every service. Did he go to Tuesday night visitation? Absolutely. Go to Wednesday night service? Absolutely. Did he talk to you about Jesus? Absolutely. I met him in an elevator. Met him on an airplane. He talked to me about Jesus. But how come you're still sick so much? I don't know. I didn't know how to walk by faith. Now, I was saved. I knew I was saved. But I didn't know how to walk by faith and walk in healing. It took me a lot of years to learn how to do that. But now then, I've learned how to do that, and I'm grateful that I do walk by faith today and not by sight. I walk in faith. Now, we can all be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. For all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. Is there anybody that's not fell short? No. Everybody has fell short. Now then, let's go to the next couple of verses. Yet now God, in his gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. He paid the price. And if there's anything that the church has missed, we have missed that when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we accept him and believe he has cleansed us, we think that includes every sin we're going to do after that automatically too. But that's where we've missed it. When you got saved, you didn't have to repent of sin. Somebody said, just come to Jesus, confess all your sins, and he'll save you. No, that's not what the scripture says. You come to him and say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Let's put it this way. If you were 30 or 40 or 50 years old and you've lived in the world for all those years and you're 40 years old and you come to Christ, you can't remember the sins you've committed. There ain't no way you could know. Is there, brother? No. You couldn't possibly know. Most of you don't even know the sins you committed this last week. If God could show us the sins we committed this week, I'm sure us as Christians, it would astound us if we could see our list. You think, but Lord, I walked holy before you this week. He said, that was your opinion, not mine. Isn't that right? I mean, we think we're doing, but that's all we can do. We can try our best from our knowledge of the word and walk in obedience to his word. But he says he has freed us by taking away our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificed his life for us, God was being entirely fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former times. Now, God can do this. He can do this. But today, when you and I come to Christ and we're a 40-year-old sinner, and we say, I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus paid the price for me. If you really did that by faith, were you saved? Yes, exactly right. How many of your sins up to the 40th year of your life, how many of them are automatically washed away? All of them. But what if tomorrow you go out and tell another lie? What if tomorrow you go out and sleep with your girlfriend? You just sinned against. Now then, you say, but that's under the blood. No, it's not under the blood until you confess it. When you confess it, then it's under the blood. So you go out and tell a lie. And you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I told a lie. Will you forgive me? He said, yes. And the next day you go out and you tell a lie again. You say, Lord, forgive me. Let me tell you, there's going to come a point in your life, if you keep on that sinning, it's going to bring sickness and disease and pain into your body. It's going to bring it. Why? Somebody said it's under the blood. Yeah. The thing that you missed, he told you when you got saved, when you accepted him, I don't care how many bad things you've done, he washes all your sins away. But he says, now today, on this side of the cross, you're supposed to stop sinning. You're supposed to be a new creature. There's not supposed to be any sins in your life, which means there's not supposed to be any lying over here. There's not supposed to be any sleeping around with your boyfriend or girlfriend. There's supposed to be a life of holiness on this side. We don't teach that very well, but the Word does. Now, that if you make a mistake casually, will God forgive you? Yes, He will. But He tells you to stop sinning. You know, this old nonsense that some churches teach, once you get saved, you can go out and drink, run around with your friends, tell lies, cheat, and all, and come in Sunday and confess your sins and be okay for another week. That's not in the Scripture. Not the one I read, it's not. And if people do that, guess what it's going to do? It's going to bring sickness and disease and death into their lives and their families' lives. It will do it. Now then, let's go to the next couple of verses. And he is entirely fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. Now this is talking about the people and the sins that you committed before you come to Christ. That's what he's talking about. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, you can't boast because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. It's based on our what? Our faith in who? Jesus. Now then, let's just divide this room right here half in two. And on this side, this is your sins. On this side, this is your life of good works. On this side, let's say this was the first 20 years of your life, or 30 years, or 40 years, or whatever. I mean, you're out there in the world. I mean, you're lying, you're stealing, you're cheating, you're committing adultery, fornication. I mean, you're just everything. I mean, you've done everything imaginable, and the people, before you come to Christ, what is the lost person liable to do? Anything. There's no limitations to what they'll do. But when you hear somebody tell you about Jesus and how wonderful the blood of Jesus is, and what it, if you accept that gift that God provided through His Son, all these old wicked sins over on this side are all washed and cleaned away. Ain't nothing left. Now, he blanked this out in your past. Blanked it out. Forgot it. Aren't we glad? Put it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah. That's really good news. Now then, on this side, we're not supposed to have any sin on this side. These good works over here are good deeds you're supposed to be doing as a born-again child of God. Is there supposed to be any unforgiveness over here on this side? Not at all. He tells you to walk holy. Is there supposed to be any lying on this side? Now, what happened to the old man that was over here? What happened to him? He's supposed to have died. That's right. But we don't leave him dead very well. I mean, we resurrect this beast real easy. So, you know, I mean, he's lying a little. He's cheating a little. He's doing all kinds of bad things. So now then you got all these bad things scattered all around over here on this side. It's not supposed to be there. But we don't listen to God very well. The reason we can do this is because we don't study this Word. Let's go on to the next couple of verses there. Down through. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Now, by faith, we're made right through faith. Now then, faith, when you get a hold of faith, faith will teach you what you're supposed to do. And when you get a hold of faith, you won't break those old rules no more. You'll walk in love. And that's when you can get healed. You can get set free. After all, God is not the God of the Jews only, is He? Isn't He also the God of the Gentiles? Of course He is. Aren't we glad? First, I'll have to ask, how many Jews do we have in here? Okay, Kim says she got a little bit of Jew in her. Huh? Okay, but I meant the other way. Yeah, that way you are. All of us are there. But let me ask this question. How many of us are Gentiles in here? All of us are Gentiles. But now then, we're really the true Jew whenever you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's what the Scripture says. So she's absolutely right there. Okay, let's go to the next verse, couple of verses. There is only one God, and there is only one way of being accepted by Him. Now then, we hear people all the time say, you know, if God is such... In fact, I hear Christians say this. Many Christians I've talked to about Jesus. They say, now, Thurman, you know that God, if He's really God, He wouldn't be such a God that would only make one way to heaven. You know, I mean, if all those Muslims over there, they believe in Allah. You know, they if they live a good life, they get to go to heaven. What about the Buddhists over in Japan and all over in there? How about those that worship Confucius and all those? I mean, give me a break. You know, God wouldn't be such a God that would only provide one way for every kind of people to get to heaven. But is He a God that provided one way? And there ain't but one way, is there? And it's the blood of Jesus. And now then, you can stand up in a bunch of people and start talking what the Word says, and some of them's going to throw you out. You know that? That's okay. The Word says there is only one God, and there's only one way of being accepted by Him. He makes people right with Himself only by faith. Now, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can get it by what? Faith. Faith in what? In Jesus, the Word of God. Now, if you want to get healed, you can get it only by faith. That's exactly right. You can't say, well, I hope that God will hear my prayer today. He won't. I can guarantee you He won't. Well, I'm going to go down that aisle and make Jesus my Savior. I hope. Oh, Jennifer, you don't think, you're shaking your head, you don't think I'm going to get nothing, huh? If I come down there and say, I'm going to receive Jesus as my Savior today. He said, God the Father sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. So I'm believing that, and I'm receiving by faith. I'm accepting Him as my Lord and Savior. Am I going to get something? Yeah, I'm going to get something. So somebody says, I don't see any difference in you. They can't see any difference right then. But see, they're going to find out now then as I renew my mind daily. I go out, and let's say I've been one of them little rough, little hellions, you call them. And, you know, I walk outside, and I stub my toe on the sidewalk, fall down, skin my knee. And I get up and say, that blankety-blank zone, what in the way is that thing in the way? Somebody said, I thought you just got saved in there. I said, I did. They said, well, the Word of God says you're not supposed to use those kind of words of profanity. Oh, it does? I didn't know that. I guess I better start reading, huh? So then I find that in there. I'm not supposed to do that. But next time I stumble and fall down, just like this last week, I was out there at the shop, but we're working on this building, and I have a piece of 2x2x3/8 steel angle that's been laying right there in the front of my shop for a while, and I stumbled over it the other day and almost fell down. But now then, I'm really in a hurry today, and I go run around the corner, and it's about this high off the floor, and I hang it right on the top of my foot, and I go completely over on both knees and on my hands on the floor. Bam! On the concrete. I get up, and I say, Lord, thank you for another test, but this time I'm going to move that piece of steel. So I pick it up, and I take it outside and lay it outside the shop. I said, I am not going to stumble out of that again. Well, the next morning, when I woke up, the top of my right foot was extremely sore. I thought, now what's wrong with my crazy foot? And then I thought, Lord, as I walked through the day, that foot was sore, and I kind of limped a little. I said, Lord, by faith, I'm healed. in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I can't think what I possibly done to make that foot sore. Later that afternoon, I said, Lord, would you please reveal to me what I did that made my foot sore? And then immediately he brought me right back to when I was going full bore and hung my foot and went flying over. He said, that's what you did. That's why your foot sore. I said, okay, Lord, thank you. You bore my pain. You took away all my sickness and disease so it don't hurt no more. And within an hour, it didn't hurt anymore. But I received by faith, see, his promises. Now, you can't go and look up his promises whenever you get sick. You got to know them in advance. Is that right? If you want to walk in divine health. And almost nobody's willing to pay that price. You got to be trained. So anyway, faith. Only by faith. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, these things only work for you. How? By faith. Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, nothing shall be impossible with you. Is that what he said? That's what he said. So what's wrong with us then? We don't have any faith. We don't believe him. We don't trust him. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. Or God forbid, the King James says, in fact, only when we have faith do we fulfill the law. So only when you have faith do you fulfill the law. So is faith important today to us as Christians? I mean, absolutely. Without faith, and I think about when God put me in the healing ministry and told me what to start teaching, I was raised up in a Baptist church. Now, it could have been any church, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, it makes no difference, but it happened to be a Baptist. Not one time in my whole life in a Baptist church, up until I got the hold of these things myself, did I ever see anybody that got sick in the church that come down and ask specifically to be prayed for or hands laid on them or to be anointed with oil for healing. I never saw that. Now, you know what I did see? Somebody would call the church and say, my aunt's sick or I'm sick. Would y'all put me on the prayer list? And you know how many miraculous healings we saw like that? None. Never saw one. I never saw one. I remember one night after I learned these principles, a young man that was one of our deacons out at Justin, First Baptist Church, he didn't know how to walk by faith either, but he was a deacon. He was right where I was many years before, but now I'm learning. Well, he was in a bank there in Justin, and a kidney stone attacked, and he came under tremendous pain. I mean, he couldn't walk. He was hurting. They called 911 and hauled him off to the hospital. After they checked him, they found out he had kidney stones. A whole bunch of them. So if you're a man, you've ever had a kidney stone, you know they said that's the only thing that's more painful than having a child. You know, it's kidney stones. You know, those little things are really nice and smooth. You know, they got little bayonets sticking out on them like this all over, as sharp as a razor. And so as they move through your body, they just tear you all to pieces. So that's not exactly fun. You know, so it's painful. When them little things start cutting like a razor blade, how would you like to put a bunch of little micro razor blades inside your body and it passed through and everywhere it touches the side it started ripping you apart? Well, that's what you got when you got kidney stones. Well, Daryl come down with kidney stones. They hauled him off. They sent him back home that night and give him some medicine and a bunch of stuff, but he's still in severe pain. Well, that night when I was at Wednesday night prayer meeting, the pastor said, Daryl had an attack of kidney stones today, and they asked us to pray for him. I said, okay. Tonight, I'm going to pick out him as people are going around praying that night. When it come my turn, I said, I want to pray for Daryl. I want to come against those kidney stones, and I'm going to use Matthew 18:19, the prayer of agreement. Now, see, I'd learned that God watches over his word to perform his word. I made sure all of my sins were repented of. I said, all I need in this place is one more person to agree with me in prayer, in faith. I prayed a prayer of faith for Daryl. I commanded those kidney stones to pass out of his body and there not to be any pain in the name of Jesus. Now, what did the king say I could ask for? Anything. Hey, I don't understand what we don't understand about anything, do you? So, Several other people prayed. And we're just about to get down to the end. And nobody has agreed with me. Now, I don't know why I used the prayer of agreement that night, but I did. I mean, if you're led by the Spirit, you do what God says. Is that right? See, I don't know what God was going to do that night, but we finally get down close to the end, and I think he was the last man that was going to pray. He was a retired preacher. He'd quit preaching. He's retired. He was going to our church there in Justin. He said, and Lord, I want to agree with Thurman's prayer. I thought, oh, praise God. We got it, Lord. That's what I needed. I want to agree with Thurman's prayer that Darrell will be okay and that there will be no more pain and he will pass those kidney stones, just like Thurman prayed a while ago. I'm rejoicing. On the way home, I'm rejoicing. I get home and his wife called. She wanted to talk to my wife. And she said, is Betty there? I said, no, she's still at the church. And I said, by the way, how's Darrell? She said, well, he's hurting. I said, but he's going to pass them stones tonight. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus. She said, well, wow, Thurman, you sure do sound sure of yourself. How do you know that? I said, if the Word of God is true, it said if two of us on earth agree about anything and we do it in total faith, it's done. Is that what it says? Now, I hope he'll do it for me. That ain't faith, is it, Jack? No, that ain't faith at all. So I'm standing by faith. And she said, well, I sure hope he passes them. I said, he ain't no hope to it, woman. I said, the Word of God said, Jesus said, if two of us on earth agree, it's done. Is that what he said? So see, this is where the devil will talk to you and say, oh, you old fool. You don't think God would do something nice like that for an old critter like you. Now see, this is where you don't go back and look at yourself under the law. You walk in faith, right, Tom? You walk in faith. I said, guarantee he's going to pass them kidney stones tonight with no pain. Well, she said, well, I'll have to tell him. So I hung up the phone. She said, Darrell, Thurman said they prayed for you at church tonight, and he was so sure that you're going to pass them stones with no pain whatsoever. He said he guaranteed it's going to happen. He said, well, in that case, I'm going to go to the bathroom and try to pass them. He went in there and used that little strainer, and guess what? They came right out, and all of his pain was gone. And she called me back just in 10 minutes or 15, whatever it was. She said, Thurman, Darrell just went to the bathroom, and he passed those stones just like you said with no pain. She said, this is wonderful. I said, he's over there saying, thank you, Thurman. I said, tell him, don't thank me. Thank Jesus. He's the one that did it. I just did it by how?
Faith.
In what? In the Word. Now then, you know, this is what will put you to the test. But Thurman, that's a kidney stone in there. You know, what makes you think he could pass a kidney stone with no pain? Those things got little sharp edges and they're going to rip him apart as they come out. He couldn't possibly pass them things without pain. What can God do when you step into faith? Anything you can believe him for. Anything. He can do anything. Isn't God awesome? It depends on your faith. But just like Rosemary, when she prayed for that little boy the other day, how many of you could have had this kind of faith? You're at the minister center and you get a prayer call. And it's a grandmother. And your little grandson has just stuck a knife in his eye and just took him to the doctor. And an eye doctor and a specialist eye doctor checks it and says there's no way the eye can be repaired. It's going to have to be replaced with a glass eye. Now, how many of you can have faith to believe that your God, through your prayer, can fix that eye? Most of you can't, but some of you can. Well, Rosemary, when she got the phone call, the grandmother said, I want you to pray that the surgery will go well. Rosemary said, no, I don't pray prayers like that. The God I serve is bigger than that. He can fix that eye. So she quotes the Word of God to the king and says, Father, in the name of Jesus, ask you to fix that little boy's eye where he can see perfect. When they take the cover off his eye in the morning to prepare him for that surgery, there ain't going to be no surgery. He can see, and that eye's going to be perfect, and there ain't even going to be a scratch on the lens. It's going to be perfect in the name of Jesus. Now, what did the king say you could ask for?
Anything.
So I don't exactly know how the grandmother took that, but I know where Rosemary left it. Well, the next day when the grandmother called back, whenever they took him in to do the surgery and they pulled a patch off of his eye, the first thing he said was, I can see. And the doctor checked his eye, and after he checked his eye, his words were, This is almost unbelievable. The eye is perfect and not even a scratch on the lens. What was it that fixed that eye? Faith in Jesus. Not saying, I hope he will. Maybe if it's his will, he will. It's Rosemary taking her authority as a daughter of the King, knowing who she is and believing with no doubt it's done. And standing on the Word. Now, how would you like to have been there with Jesus when everybody said, Lord, come on over here. Lazarus is sick. He said, no, I ain't going back for 4 days. So he goes back 4 days later, and everybody says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, am I not the resurrection and the life? If you believe, he shall rise. Well, yes, Lord, I believe you can raise him from the dead 1,000 years from now or 10,000 years from now or whenever this is, but I don't believe you can do it today. Now, why can we believe that we'll be resurrected from the dead at the end of eternity, you know, thousands of years from now, maybe. I mean, after the bones have rotted and destroyed, can we have that kind of faith to believe God can raise us from the dead, and we don't believe he can do it today? I mean, after all, Lazarus only been dead 4 days. Open the tomb. Lord, there's a bad odor. We really have faith, don't we? We really do. And now there he had been sealed in a cocoon. I mean, if he wasn't dead, he would be. Because when you take myrrh and aloe and you 100 pounds of that and you wrap a body, there ain't no way to get oxygen inside that thing. He's wrapped in a cocoon, you know, a mummy. And he'd been wrapped 4 days. So if he wasn't dead, he would have suffocated within a matter of minutes inside that thing. So it says that when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, it says, and Lazarus stood in the doorway. It didn't say he walked out. It said Lazarus stood in the doorway. You know what happened when he said that? Either that mummy just responded and went flying through there and stood in the doorway, or one of God's angels went over there and picked it up and walked over there, because that mummy didn't walk. You know what Jesus' first words was? Turn him loose. Loose him. Let him go. Let's go get something to eat. He's only been dead 4 days, so, you know, he's probably hungry by now. Let's go get something to eat. Did Jesus have total faith? Yes. He had total faith. Did I not tell you, if you believe, you shall see the glory of God? That's what's wrong with us. We don't believe. Well, then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Now, see, this is where we've missed it right here. We think when we get saved by faith, now we can go ahead and continue to sin. We can continue to walk in unforgiveness. We can continue to hate our brother. We can continue to lie and steal and cheat and have abortions and sleep around with people and all this kind of stuff because we're under grace. Now, the minute you stepped into that, you fell from grace. You went right back under the law. And now then you're guilty. And that's why you get sick. That's why your backs go out. That's why your legs go out. That's why you have cancer. That's why you have all these things, is because you're not walking in a love walk with God. So when you're not walking in faith, and the only way to walk in faith is walk in love. When you don't do that, you fall from grace and you fall back under the law. And the devil's under the law. He will get you. Now then, let's go to Romans 5:18, and we'll just go down that deep down into chapter 6 to verse 23. 5:18 to 6:23. I want to see us a little something here in Romans 5:18. It says here, yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation upon everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness makes all people right in God's sight and gives them life. Now see, this is when you receive that free gift. I don't care how wicked a sinner you were, you come under the plan of redemption. When you were redeemed by the blood, you don't have to confess the sins up to that point. Now, it's all washed away. You were redeemed. Because one person disobeyed God, many people became sinners. In fact, all of them. But because one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in God's sight. Now, it's a shame that so few of us get a hold of this. So few people. Today, you go out there in the workplace. You start talking to people about Jesus. And you'll find out that the average person you run up to don't know him, don't want nothing to do with him. I mean, there's two things we don't talk about, and that's politics and religion. You've heard that story, right? Well, I'm just like Urban Baxter. I think it's time we talk about both of them. I think it's time we talk about politics, and I know it's time we talk about Jesus. Now, if you're a Christian and you're around somebody more than a few minutes and you're not talking to them about Jesus, then there's something wrong with you. You don't know the King well enough. You need to know that you're a Christian, and you need to know your responsibility is to talk to other people about God. Now, they may not want to hear it, but still, it's your responsibility to talk to them. God sent you out to sit. And if you don't do that, and some people will not agree with me here, but if you do not spend time with Jesus producing fruit for His kingdom, I'm going to guarantee you it's going to bring pain and sickness and disease into your flesh. You're not going to enjoy your life. You know that? It's going to make you sick. You know, men on the job force out there have no idea why so many of them are sick and afflicted. You know, you walk up to the average man that's over 50 years of age. I mean, he's been a normal guy in the business world. He lies a little, cheats a little, steals a little, you know. I mean, you know, when I say steals a little, don't be like the little boy got caught at school and his daddy was called in with him and he said, "Your son stole something." So he goes in and he said, "What in the world did my son steal?" He said, "He stole a pencil off the teacher's desk." He said, "Good grief, son. If all you need is a pencil, why didn't you tell me? I'd have brought you one home from the office." Where do you think the little boy learned how to steal? From daddy. I mean, if daddy worked at that office and he brought that pencil home and they brought it for him to use at work, then it's supposed to be there and he ain't supposed to bring one home for his son, is he? That's a thief. You know, but people don't see that. You know, today in the business world, there's millions or maybe billions of dollars that's stolen by people that work for other people because they think, hey, you know, I mean, I'm in the roofing business. Well, let me tell you, I need to re-roof my house. So if I steal just one bundle of shingles at every job we do, nobody will ever know. The boss won't ever know. So in a little while, I'll have enough shingles to redo my whole house. Hey, and yet that costs the boss and his company money. But he never knew it. But guess who did know it? God knows it. Guarantee. And so, but people do these kind of things all the time. And then when that young man comes down sick, it may be 5 or 10 years, but he'll come down sick. He'll never put the two together that them shingles I stole is what made me sick. Or you go into the store, grocery store, Home Depot, anywhere you go in. Just like me the other night, I went in there and I bought some little things I needed on the building. And I bought some little screwdriver bits to go in my electric drill. They were $4 and something, and they wouldn't stay in the basket. So I put them in my shirt pocket. Well, when I checked out, I forgot them crazy things, and I got nearly to the truck to unload. And I thought, oh, goodness, them bits. So I unloaded everything in the truck, walked back in there. I said, "Ma'am, this little package of bits had them in my shirt pocket, and I didn't pay you for them." She said, "Wow, are you honest?" I said, "How much are they?" She rang them up. She said, $4.30. I said, "Okay, I'd a whole lot rather pay $4.30 for them than seven times that for them." And that's minimum. I know that's going to cost me a minimum because God said, "I'm a thief, and He's going to charge me at least seven times." I don't want to pay for that seven times. $30 is a little expensive for them little bits. $4.30 is expensive enough. But, you know, people don't realize that when you go out and you get checked, just like another. I went in the other day to Home Depot, and I thought I bought about $300 worth of stuff. When I went out, it was $203. I saw her ring up everything in that basket, and I take about three steps. I'm already checked out. Another guy's there, and I stop, and I open my ticket, and I start looking down through the list. I said, "Oh, that $92 item right there, it ain't on here." I turn around and say, "Ma'am," I said, "you missed something." "No, sir, I checked everything in your basket." I said, "Ma'am, you might have checked it, but that thing didn't read it." She said, "I heard it beep." I said, "Ma'am, all I got to say is, It said that the item right there costs $92, and it ain't on this list. Okay, just as soon as I get through with this man. Okay, I had to wait for her to finish him. He had a lot of stuff, but I ain't going. She said, that's okay, you can go. I said, no, I ain't leaving this place until I pay for everything in this basket. So when she got through, she come over there and she started checking. She said, you're right. She rang it up again, $92.50. I said, I knew I had about $300 worth of stuff. And when I had $203, I knew something was wrong. She said, well, I scanned that. I said, all I got to say, it didn't read it. Because it ain't on this ticket. Now then, the average person, even a Christian, will just go right on out. Never even check to see. But you know God holds you accountable, whether you check that or not. He holds you accountable. When you buy something, you're supposed to know what you bought, and you're supposed to pay for everything in that you got. Now, you're also not supposed to pay any more than what you got. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes they ring an item up twice. You know, so it's your responsibility to check. So anyway, Adam's sin and what God did is an absolute wonderful thing. Because of one person disobeyed, God made many people become sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in God's sight. And we're made right by faith in Jesus Christ. Next to God's law. Now here's the law. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they really are. He said, but as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful kindness became more abundant. Now it's a good thing it did. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they are, then why in the world don't we kind of look at that law once in a while to see what God likes and don't like? But most people have never read the law. They don't even know what God likes. They don't know. I mean, most people do not know that God says, you are to be hospitable to everybody. If you're not hospitable to people, then I'll put you under a 10-generation curse. Most people never even read that in the book. Now, somebody said, well, I read if you bring a child into the world out of wedlock, that child's cursed for 10 generations. But, you know, most people in the church don't even know that. So they just go out and have sex with whoever they want to, bring a child in or get pregnant and say, oh, well, I don't want this, and so I'll just go down and have an abortion. Not a big deal. I'm under grace. Kill a human being. I put out there the other day a picture. I didn't want to look at it but once, but I laid it out there for everybody to see at the Minister Center. I don't know, but right here in Dallas, at Dallas Children's Hospital, they had a picture of a 23-week baby that had been aborted. The little guy came out in pieces. They had pulled arms. They stuck a saline solution through the womb and killed the child. And as it's streaming and kicking with that saline solution, it's fighting for its life. And then it dies. And then they reach in there and twist a leg off and pull it out. Then they reach in, find an arm, and they twist it off, turn it off until they pull it out. And when they finally got the little thing out, it was pieces. That happens 4,000 times a day in America. And you want to know why? I wonder why this nation's not wiped out. Doesn't it make you wonder? Wonder how many of those people are Christians. Some of them are. A lot of them are. Why do they go do these kind of things as a Christian? They don't read this book. Have we all been guilty of sin? Yes. But you have become a lot less guilty of it when you read the book. You know that? But without the knowledge of the law, you don't realize how wicked you are. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful or wicked we were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful kindness became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, as sin ruled over the people, what did it bring? Death. As sin rules over you today, it'll bring sickness and disease and death. It's no different. This principle is still the same. Now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course, just go ahead and sin all you want to. Is that what you said?
God forbid.
In other words, this NLT says, of course not. But the King James says, God forbid. That's the one I love to read too. Now then, should we keep on sinning as Christians so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? God forbid. Now then, look at this next. What not? Of course not, since we have died to sin. Now wait a minute. If we have died to sin, then why do we keep sinning? There's something wrong with this picture. If we're dead to sin, since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Now let me tell you, if on this side, what goes we talk about, this is your wicked sins over here. This is your deeds of righteousness over here. If when you were that lost, wicked sinner, and you were producing all these bad fruits, all these bad works over here, and then you come to the line in your life where you got saved, right here you're supposed to have died. When you received Jesus and you were baptized with Him in death, and this old physical being is supposed to have died. And the old you is supposed to have passed away. When you were resurrected to walk in newness of life, you're supposed to be just like Jesus. Now, how many people are just like Jesus the second day after they get saved? None. Because we don't know what's required. But the more we read this, we find from the day we were killed, we got saved, when we were resurrected to walk in newness of life, we're supposed to walk in life. But we don't know this. So that's what causes sickness and disease and pain and suffering and everything else to come into our back, into our body, and all other parts. That's just like Bobby Jones. I got a letter from a lady that heard about Bobby Jones this week. She said, I went to high school with Bobby Jones, and I heard his testimony, and I want to come see you. I need to be healed. Well, what happened to Bobby Jones? Bobby Jones, when he was 14 years old, was in a football incident and broke his back. From 14 to 38, 24 years, he'd been in excruciating pain. Now, he finally gets to hurting. So he's a good singer, and he sings up here at Lakeland Baptist Church, right up the road on the left, about 15, 20 miles. Great big church, Baptist church. Been going there for years. He's down on his back. He's going to the finest doctors in Dallas, going to church, a born-again Christian. Don't have a clue what it is to walk in faith. Don't have a clue, but if you'd ask him, are you a believer in faith? You know what he'd have said? Sure. No, he didn't have a clue. But there he is up there 24 years down in his back, suffering painful, and looking for every doctor in the Metroplex. He'd been to several of them, and all of them told him, the way your back is all messed up in here at the top, where it was all broken, we might be able to help you a little, but you're going to have pain the rest of your life. And when we go in, we got to go in through the front of your throat, and there's a very good chance that we may mess up your vocal cords, so you may be able to talk, but you certainly won't be able to sing. Now, how would you like to have a diagnosis like that? Not me. Not me. But then I happened to be at the National Day of Prayer a few years ago, and he was there singing. Little Vicky, she goes to Lakeland Baptist Church. After the event was over, I spoke that day on television up there in Flower Mound. She said, Bobby, Thurman used to go to Lakeland Baptist Church, and he has a gift of faith. Why don't you let him pray for you? I come over, I talk to him, he goes to church, he serves God. What is his problem? Why he's not healed? A lack of faith. A lack of knowledge. Well, Thurman, I know God could heal me if he wants to. No. He made you a promise. He made you a guarantee in his word. He will do it if you believe. Did he not?
Yes.
Sure he did, lots of times. So I told him, I said, tell you what I'm going to do, Bobby. I showed him a scripture. I said, I'm going to use this scripture right here, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to guarantee you, after I pray for you, since you've got all your sins repented of, and the only problem I can find is sin, is your lack of knowledge of the Word of God. You don't believe these promises. Now, if you don't believe the promises of God, is that sin?
Yes.
Sure it is. Absolutely.
Unfaith.
You have to walk in faith, total faith of the Word of God. So I told him, I said, I'm going to use this promise right here. I don't remember right now which one it was. I said, now I'm going to use that promise God put in His Word, and I'm going to pray for you. And it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, and I'm going to guarantee you in the morning when you wake up, you're going to have no pain in your life for the first time in 24 years. And then you, as long as you walk in obedience where you are right now, you will never have another pain as long as you live. Now, how could a man make another man that promise? I guarantee you're going to have no pain in your back. Your back's going to be completely healed by the King of the universe, His name Jesus, in the morning when you wake up. How can you have that kind of faith? If Jesus made me a promise and said, if I don't, when I come to Him, I got to come to Him in faith, nothing wavering, what am I going to say? Oh, Jack, you got a back problem? I'm going to pray for you, and I hope He's going to do something for you. Maybe if it's His will, son, He'll fix you. You don't want out of here just as bad that day, you'd have still had that problem. You know it? But see, what I just told you, this man, he came in here a few months ago. He said, I've been having back trouble for a while. And he said, I've tried all kinds of things, and a lady sent me over here, and she told me if I had to come here, Jesus would heal me. Well, see, that lady had faith too. And so I got him to repent of every sin. I prayed for him, and before he got to his car, he is completely healed, and he ain't had no back trouble since. See, now he believed with me. See, I exercised my faith, and he exercised his faith, and the King of the universe showed up. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now, does he do it on these, well, if it be your will, maybe? No, he's a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You've got to do it His way.
I have a question. How could you know that he would be healed by in the morning?
Well, here's the thing about it is, Jesus says, if we are sons of God and we're led by the Spirit, if you're a son of God and you're walking obedient to the Word, then the words about His Word that comes out of your mouth are going to be His words, and He's going to speak out of your mouth. Because the Thurman Scrivener died years ago, and he left that thing dead. When he left that thing dead, now the Spirit's speaking through me. And so when the Spirit said, you will be healed in the morning when you wake up and you'll never have any more pain, that's not me talking, that's Jesus talking. See, I don't know those things, but God does, doesn't He?
So you perceive that in your spirit.
I just came right out of my mouth. And you know, the thing about it is, whenever those kind of things come out of your mouth, that's just like whenever I go to pray for somebody. A lot of times now, since God's brought Cheryl to me, He's given her a gift of discernment over a lot of things. She will just know what their problem is. We'll be praying, she'll reach her and whisper in my ear, they have unforgiveness towards someone. You know, she knows. And I say, you got unforgiveness towards someone? And they'll say, well, yes. And I said, well, you can't get healed like that. You know, you can't get healed like that. But many times she will know God's given her a gift of discernment to walk along beside me to give me these. Now, sometimes before He brought her to me, a lot of times He'd speak to me, I'd start to pray for you, and He'd say, Jack's got this sin in his life. Tell him to get straight with me or I ain't going to heal him. I said, Jack, you got this problem? He said, well, yeah, I guess I do. I said, well, repent. If you will, God will heal you. See, God, He doesn't step out and do a lot of things with you if you've got unbelief in your heart, you have no faith, or if you've got some kind of a sin in your life. That's why we're sick in the first place, is because we have sin. And He's not going to just heal you. And a lot of people come over here wanting to get healed so they can go right back to their lifestyle. People come over here and I say, you got a physical problem. I say, are you going to church? Well, no, but my friend said he'd bring me over here today, you'd pray with me and God will heal me. I said, do you go to church? Well, no, I don't have time to go to church. I can pray with you and get you healed, but I ain't going to keep you healed. You know that? You ain't going to stay that way. You're going to have to produce fruit for the kingdom of God and get in His Word and study it and do what He says, or sooner or later, that pain or that sickness is coming back to your life. You know that? Now, I don't know about you, but I love being able to walk with no pain. There's only one thing I hate worse than pain. More pain. I don't like pain. You know, so that's just the way it is. Now then, well then, should we keep on sinning? Now that we talked about how wonderful this grace of God is, if the grace of God and is so wonderful, Well, then, the question is asked in Romans 6:1, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? And what is the answer? Absolutely not. How much should a Christian sin? Zero. Now, there's not a whole lot of Christians believe that. You know that? Not a lot of them. But they hadn't read their word. That's why they don't know this. You're not to sin. Of course not. God forbid. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Well, the thing, like I said, when that beast that we live in come to this line and he got killed that day by Jesus. I mean, the physical body fell down and you're dead. Now Christ rose up in you, and now then Christ is living in you. And the first time you take just more than two or three steps, and somebody says something to you, instead of leaving the beast dead, you raise him back from the dead, and he's alive and well. First time you're tempted with something, you can raise the devil, which is you, back from the dead. It's real easy. You want to really find out how dead you are? Just let somebody say something to you you don't like. You find out real quick how dead you are. You know that? Yeah, it's easy to raise this beast from the dead. I mean, he's easy to come back to life. You know, somebody says, I wish I could see somebody being raised from the dead. You've seen so many rising from the dead, you don't even know it. Of course, most of us never died in the first place. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, are we supposed to be dead to sin according to this? Don't you think it's time we start doing it His way? Okay, let's see what He says after that then. Or have you forgotten? Oh, that's what the deal is. Or have you forgotten that when we became Christians and were baptized to become one with Christ Jesus, we died with Him? Have you forgotten that? Did you stay dead? You forgot it, didn't you? Yes, you did. Real easy to forget that you died. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Now, why is it important that you be baptized? Somebody said, it don't make no difference whether you're baptized or not. Yes, it does. When you go down in that water, that is a symbol or a picture of you dying with Jesus. Now, when you come up out of there, who's supposed to be alive when you come out of that water? Christ is supposed to be alive, not the old man. The old man's supposed to leave him in the water. We don't do a very good job of that either, do we? We bring the beast out, and he's alive and well. Woo. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Now we also may live new lives. Now see, the old man, he's supposed to be gone. He's supposed to come back to life no more, is he? No, you don't want him. You don't want him. You want to throw him away, bury him somewhere. Put him down deep. Because if you don't, he'll dig out. Guarantee it. Now then, let's go. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised as he was. Raised as who? As Christ was. Now, is your life a demonstration of what we read about Jesus? Is your life a demonstration of what Jesus is like? Do you talk like Jesus? Do you act like Jesus? Do you put a crazy sign on the side of your car that said, I clean houses for Jesus? What's wrong with that stupid woman? Good grief. She's crazy for Jesus, see? She advertises. When she come down here and started putting them signs on her car, she told me she, how many years, 11 years, or what was it up there? 11 years up there, you clean houses, and I don't think you ever did get your agenda completely full. But you come down here, and in 2 months, started serving Jesus, put your signs on your car, and in 2 months, you're completely full. Turn people down. Now, did God, if you do it His way, will He bless you? Like I tell Dave, He bless your socks off, right, Dave? Is it better to do it His way, Lisa? Hey, it's better. The old man's got to die, hadn't he? Yes, the old man's got to die. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised as He was. Now then, if you leave the old man dead, how many times can the old dead man be sick? None. That's right. As long as you leave that beast dead, you don't get sick. As long as Christ is living in you, the body don't get sick. Now, people have a real problem with that. You know that? But you know, I learned how to do that 25 years ago. Praise God. If you find something that works, don't change it, right? I mean, I found something that worked 25 years ago, and I've walked in divine health now all these years. Let me tell you, it's trusting in Jesus by faith, not going by what I see. Now, the other day, whenever I'm running through the shop and I tripped on that piece of steel and hit on both knees and both hands, flat out, the average man my age, you know what he'd have said if he'd have tripped and fell? Oh, the words that would have come out of his mouth. Even Christian men. Oh, my goodness, I've ruined both my knees. Oh, my knees are hurting. Oh, my hands are hurting. I'm in pain. Got to go back to the house and get some. Oh, I heard. Goodbye, honey, you got to give me an aspirin or something. Look at my hands are all scratched up. Look at my knees are bloody and all this stuff. No. 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 You walk by faith. You get up and say, Lord, thank you that you sent an angel to watch over me. Thank you. You said I could have anything I say with my mouth. Now, another thing, not only being led by the Spirit in answer to that question that he asked a while ago, but there is a scripture in Mark 11:23 that makes an awesome statement. Whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you can have it. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? See, that's another one I can use. You go home, and I guarantee you in the morning, when you wake up, you won't have no pain and your back will be healed. Jesus will heal it from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now see, if I can say that by faith, somebody said, do you really believe that? Yes. Why do you believe it? Because God made me those promises in His Word. I'm standing on His Word. That's just like the day I told Dave, after a 40-year incurable disease, I said, I guarantee you, the King of the universe will heal you if you do what I tell you. Well, see, he wasn't there then. He turned and walked off and to his wife, they're saying, or at least he's thinking within himself, you know, this man can't guarantee God will do anything, but he's learned we can. Not only can I, but you've learned you can too, right, Dave?
Amen.
Amen. Eldon does it all the time. I mean, you know, Eldon learned this way back yonder too. He's been praying for people and seeing God do wonderful miracles. Everybody in our ministry center is seeing God do these kind of things. That's just like I think about Keith sitting back there. He's a pilot. And we just talked about this. He's out working with us this week, come out and help us someday. You know, he got down with an eye problem here a while back. And he prayed, but he had to take an airplane home. He couldn't fly the thing. You know, and so he gets home, and he gets there, and here's best I can remember. This is what he did when he told us the testimony that day. He said, when I got home, my eyes were bothering me, and I said, Lord, this body is not mine, it's yours. Is that what you said, Keith? Yeah. This body's not mine, it's yours. You promised to fix it. So I'm going to go to bed tonight, and when I wake up in the morning, there ain't going to be nothing wrong with my eyes. Is that what you said, Keith? And when you woke up the next morning, what was wrong with your eyes? Nothing. They were completely healed. Now see,
amen.
Did Mark 11:23 say you can do that?
Yes,
what kind of limitations did God give you?
None.
Hey, you see what happens when you study the Word. It'll change your life, won't it, girl?
Yep.
It'll get your business. Me and you and Cheryl, and we prayed for this deal for many a time. I mean, nobody but I, not her, really. But I was involved quite a bit because she'd come up real often. So I'm going to go, we got to pray for this and this and this. And we'd pray. And this has been 4.5 years she'd been fighting this battle. Now, a lot of people say, it ain't God's will. I'm just going to give up. I'm tired of fighting. That's when you lose. It's when you give up. You don't ever give up, do you? Never. As a Christian, with these promises, you don't never give up. Never. I don't care how long it takes. You stay in there. And you stand on these promises, and He'll do what He said if you stand on those promises. Now then, our old sinful natures, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Isn't that good news? Amen. Now then, go to the next verse. For when we died with Christ... Uh-oh, there's that. When we died... Are we still dead or are we alive? Unfortunately, we're too much alive. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Now see, what can the devil do to a dead piece of flesh? Nothing. That's the exact. He can't make it sick. He can't make it hurt. He can't do nothing to a dead piece of flesh. That's right. So, but see, then that's when you got to consider, I'm dead. I'm dead. And if I'm dead, then hey, the devil can't touch me. And if Jesus is alive in you, like he says, how much pain and sickness do you think you're going to have if Jesus is alive inside of you? None. That's right. When you're letting him rule in your flesh is not going to be sick and is not going to have pain. It's kind of hard to grasp how simple this is, isn't it? He made this so simple. But we don't spend enough time with him to be able to pick these things out. We want to live in the flesh. For when we died with Christ, when did we die? When we got saved. We're supposed to stay dead right there, right? When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I can't think of anything I had rather do than know that I'm free from the power of sin. Can you? I don't want this beast. I don't do those kind of things. You know, when you get a hold of who you are in Christ, you'll stop lying. You'll stop cheating. You know, somebody say something about me. Thurman's a liar. I tell you, you can say anything you want to. If it's anything I don't do, I don't lie. You might have misinterpreted or misunderstood what I said, but I don't lie. I do not tell lies. I don't care what the circumstances is. I will not tell you a lie. I just don't do it. Yeah. Like I say, if you misunderstood something, and how many times somebody said something to you that you misunderstood it? Hey, it happens all the time, right? For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share his new life. If you're going to share that new life, if Christ is alive in you, if you let him do that, you're going to see his power through you. You're going to be able to witness to people. You're going to get people saved, healed, and delivered. And you're going to see Christ do awesome things through you. But for that to happen, you got to get out of the way. You got to die. Oh, and it's hard to die. That's like that time I was in a big business meeting. I went up to New York and as a regional engineer, and we were going to buy a big company, and they had many buildings, and they sent me up there, and I met with CEOs, VPs, you know, all kinds of people. All of them were big boys. And when I was there, one of the men that was there, he knew me from before. He said, Thurman, will you tell all of these guys how you did that project over in Minneapolis, that you did that job in such a short period of time? So I told them how I did it in the name of Jesus. I give him all the glory and praise. And then after I stood up, we were having lunch. There was at least 20 of these guys in the New York area. And I'm telling them about my Jesus and how he done this great thing for me. I said, now, is any of you guys in here know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Not one man said one thing. Not one acknowledged Jesus, nothing, not one. So they just went back to eating their meal. Nobody said a word. So I sat down and finished my meal. I got up and I walked out. One of them come running up beside me, way down the hall. He said, Thurman, I'm a Pentecostal myself. There was men, all kinds of men behind him. I turned around and I looked him right in the face. I said, you gutless wonder. That's exactly the way I felt. I said, if you ain't got enough guts there in front of them, all them other men to tell your Jesus, I said, don't come talk to me about him. Here you are, a VP or a CEO or whatever, and you're going to come tell me you're a Pentecostal. And when I ask who's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian in this room, and none of you would hold your hand up, you bunch of gutless wonders. You guys don't know Jesus. You want to know why we don't see God do anything in this world? Because we're ashamed of him. We're ashamed of the King. Hey, if you're ashamed of him, he ain't going to do nothing for you. You know that? He expects you to acknowledge him. If you refuse to acknowledge me before man, I will not acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. So one day I get there and he said, who are you? I said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, Thurman Scrivener who? I don't know who you are. In the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want that, do you? No. It's amazing. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share his new life. Next. We are sure of this. We are sure of this. Not hope. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once to defeat sin, and now he lives for the glory of God. If he died once to defeat sin, is sin defeated? Then why do we let sin rule over us? Any of you in this room let sin rule over you? Sure. Maybe every one of us. There is times sin rules over us. Next couple of verses. So you should consider yourself dead to sin. You know how hard this is? So you should consider yourself dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Isn't that something? Do not yield to sin. How easy is it to yield to sin? Oh, praise the King. Amen. Now see, here is a precious daughter of the King that has a body that she could use for the glory of God, and she's paying to kill it.
Was.
Praise God. Thank you for the correction. She was a daughter of the King, but did she consider herself dead to sin? No. So whenever that little thing whispered in her ear, oh, just have another cigarette. What did she do? She yielded to sin. She had another one. And when she used up the pack, she took her hard-earned money that she didn't have and went down and bought some more of them stupid things. And she's burning her lungs up. Had she died? No, but she was on the way of physical death. See, she didn't die to sin. But now she is, slowly but surely. She's dying to sin, right? You're working on it, right, girl? But you took that verse right there and got rid of that cigarette, right? Woo! Did you know that you'll be nicer when people are around you close? You won't be so offensive because you won't stink so bad? You'll smell better. Isn't that amazing that we as Christians, what we do to our physical bodies? Isn't that right? Hey, she finally realized her power over sin. That it had no power over her, and she kicked them things out, right? Amen. Glory to God. Now, so you should consider yourself dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God. When you've done that, you'd throw them things away, didn't you? Praise the King. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Oh, just have one more cigarette. Nope, no more. That's it, you devil of hell. You're out of here. In the name of Jesus, I'm learning some of the word now. I realize I don't have to do that. Because if you'd listen to the sinful lust, then 10 or 20 years from now, you'd have come in here and said, Thurman, I need you to pray for me. I got lung cancer. And you're going to expect God to heal you of lung cancer after you've abused this body for 20 years and you paid to do it? He might not heal you. Isn't that us awesome? He just might not. Now then, he tells us in his word to do not give in to its lustful desires, right? So you finally got a hold of that, didn't you, girl? Praise the King. Next couple of verses. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness. Any part of your body. I want everyone of you to think about this a minute. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give your lives completely to God since you've been given new life. Now I want you to think about a part of your body. Name me some part of your body that could be used as a tool of wickedness, and how could it be used? The tongue. There's a great one right there. The tongue. What can the tongue do, Kim? It can curse. It can lie. It can do all kinds of things, can't it? You can use the tongue as a tool of wickedness. And somebody, you know, you've heard this old story. Well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That come from the pit of hell, didn't it? Words is your worst enemy or your best friend. When you made that decision, you got rid of them cigarettes, didn't you, girl? Praise the King. I love it when I see a daughter or a son of God overcome the sin problem. I love seeing them get set free. Because you know what that means? That one day, as she gets rid of sin, One day she won't be in here saying, "Oh, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I'm dying with cancer." You won't ever be there. See, the Lord will keep your body healthy. And that's where He wants it, right? Amen. And that's right. Stand on His Word and slowly but surely say, "Lord, I ask You to restore every cell that I messed up when I was stupid. Lord, now I'm getting smarter and I'm going to walk with You and I'm going to ask You to restore everything in there." See, I learned all these things the hard way myself. Of course, smoking wasn't one of my deals, but I have done a lot of other things. But praise God. Instead, give yourselves completely to God since you've been given a new life. And use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Now, how much of your body are you supposed to use for the glory of God? All of it. So that means if you got a hand that's stealing, what do you say do with that hand if it's offending? Oh, my lands, cut it off. Surely Jesus couldn't be that cruel, Tom. That's what He said, isn't it? Cut it off. It'd be better to enter heaven without a hand than to not enter it at all. Is that what He said? Woo! So, see, we don't take the Bible literally, do we? You know, we just don't do this. And use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Now, we're supposed to be taking this body and going out and using it to bring glory and honor to God, right? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Absolutely. Sin, now look at this. Sin is no longer your master. Now, isn't that good news? Jesus paid the price, so sin is no longer your master, for you're no longer subject to the law. You're not subject to the law, which enslaves you to sin. Instead, you're free by God's grace. Now then, let's see what these next two verses say. This is extremely important. So since God's grace has set us free from the law. Now, are we free from the law? We're supposed to be. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Because look what He says. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey as Christians becomes your master? Whatever you choose, He's talking to Christians. I added a word there. But He's talking to Christians. Is that right? So, don't you realize that whatever you choose as Christians to obey becomes your master? Then He says you can choose sin. Now, as a Christian, can you resurrect this beast and still choose sin? Sure you can. But if you do that, what does it say are the results? It leads to death. And you know, before death comes, what usually comes pre-sickness and disease. Is that right, Eldon? Sickness and disease is what brings forth death. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. And usually pain comes with sickness and disease. Is that right? And every time one of us does come down with some little something or whatever, if it gets very bad and the pain's very bad, you think, "Oh, Lord." I mean, I think about Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth, he has just learning how to walk in faith, just barely. He was in probably 45, 50 years old. And he was learning how to get a few people healed. His wife was a preacher of a church. And then he come down with, "Oh, man, oh, that must be kidney stones, gallstones or something." They tried to pray. They tried to walk in faith. They tried to do everything. Nothing worked. He got worse. Pain got so bad, he couldn't even stand up. And so he told his wife. He said, "We've prayed. We've done everything. But this thing is not going away. It must be my time to go home." Now, see, he's only about 45 or 50 years old. So his wife said, "Well, if you think it's your time to go home, then I'm going to at least call a doctor and have him come and look at you to see what's wrong with you." So she called a doctor. And the doctor come out and he says, "You fool, you're trying to walk by faith. And if you'd have called me 2 days ago, we could have done surgery on you." Said, your kidneys are got gangrene in them now. And it's too late. Ain't nothing nobody can do for you now. Gangrene in your kidneys. You're going to be dead today." So, he just received that. The doctor said, "I got another call. Ain't nothing I can do. I'll come back by later on the way back to the office and see if you're still alive." Wow. Nice diagnosis, huh? So, the doctor leaves. A woman and a young man walks in. And Polly tells the woman what's wrong. And she said, oh, she goes over and checks him. She said, don't y'all know? If you prayed and it didn't happen, then it's a demon. He has a demon. Now, Smith Wigglesworth got a demon? Yeah. The woman jumped right up in the middle of him and right where his infected kidneys are with gangrene, punched him out. Bam! And guess what? And screamed, come out of him, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. And the demon of hell left. His pain left. Smith Wigglesworth got up and he went to work. And when the doctor come by, he was going to do some plumbing. The doctor come by a couple hours later and said, where's Smith? She said, well, he got healed. And he went to work. He said, he didn't get healed. Nobody gets healed of that. He'll die. But 45 years later, he finally did go home to be with Jesus. See, we fail to understand what demons are. You know that? And how these things work. You can't pray out a demon. When a demon gets in you, and that's the problem too, we think, I am a Christian. I can't have a demon. Oh, yeah. If you're a Christian and say you can't have a demon, I guarantee you got one, because that's what's speaking out of your mouth. Because you ain't agreeing with the Word. So you can have one. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. Now, who are you going to choose to obey today? You're going to obey God and you're going to stop sinning and kill this thing? Or are you going to leave it resurrected? If you need to be prayed for in a few minutes, when we pray for you, you've got to repent of every sin. And your sin may just be that you've not believed these promises of God. You've not walked in faith. When we pray for you, when we ask God for something, I want to take you to this one promise. I want to take you to James 5, 14, 15, and 16. I want us to go right there. James 5, 14. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them prayer with them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in what?
Faith.
Maybe will heal the sick? Oh, the prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will make them well. And if anyone who has committed sins, they will be forgiven. Now, with a promise like that, is that an awesome promise? Somebody says, well, let's go to one more awesome promise. Oh, let's go to the next verse, 16. Confess your sins. And this is a secret. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Now, we've learned that to be true here in this place. We've seen that, haven't we, Jack? But is it in God's Word? So, hey, if it don't work for us here, then who's at fault? God? No, it's us. We're not doing it His way. He made the promise. Then let's go to one more promise here. Let's go to Matthew 18:19. Matthew 18:19, to build your faith a little bit. I also tell you this. If two of you agree down here on earth concerning... What?
Anything?
Now, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? If two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask my Father in heaven, we'll do it for you. Now, isn't that awesome? Somebody said, well, yeah, but maybe it's not God's will to do it for me. Maybe that promise is not going to work for me. One last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I want you to see this. For a few of God's promises have been fulfilled in Him. This is why we say amen when we give glory to God through Christ. Okay, open that in the King James for us. Let us look at that in the King James. For all the promises of God in Christ are what?
Yes.
And in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God to us. Now, isn't that amazing? The promise, that's just like Bobby Jones that day when I prayed for Bobby. Bobby had been down 24 years with pain. Of course, he's just one of thousands I've prayed for in my life. But I prayed for him up there that day. I stood by faith with him and then told Bobby, I guarantee that when he wakes up the next morning, he'll have no pain in his body And the next morning, by faith, Bobby Jones goes to Lakeland Baptist Church, woke up the next morning for the first time in 24 years with no pain. It didn't cost him a dime. No surgery. It was fixed completely. He said, no pain since. I've seen him two or three times. I said, Bobby, how's your back? He said, Thurman, it's awesome. And I'm telling everybody that'll listen what Jesus done for me. Oh, yeah, that's it, Jack. It was just a coincidence. Yeah, there you go. 24 years. 24 years, and this crazy preacher just happened to be there the day before his back was going to get okay. And he just happened to make a statement. Yeah, Jennifer, just happened, huh? Just lucky, huh? Yeah. I mean, how many people say that? Sure. But let me tell you. Well, so it was only a matter of minutes after I prayed for you that you got here, but it was just a coincidence, but at least it sure was a nice coincidence,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Right.
Isn't God awesome? He has given us this magnificent book with all these promises. And how many of His promises are yes to you, Lisa?
All.
So when you come down here and say, Lord, I'm going to put a sign on my car and say, I clean houses for Jesus. And I'm asking you to fill up my agenda totally, completely, and do it quickly. And in 2 months, you're running over, turning people down.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
And now she's got a church to clean.
See, when you learn how to stand on His promises, isn't it wonderful what He can do for you? See, now does it make any difference if you need to get healed or if you need work? God can do anything, can He, Tom? Anything. All you got to do is be patient and believe Him. But you have to believe Him. And sometimes He doesn't heal you instantly. Sometimes He doesn't do a miracle. When He healed Jack that day, I've seen Him heal back so many times instantly. I love it. But you got to stand on God's promises. Stand. When you stand, what did He promise? He'll give you your desire. I think about this couple. He was a Baptist preacher, and they had a handicapped daughter. And they went down, and supposedly the doctor said, she can't get healed. She's got to have surgery. So they scheduled the surgery. And then somebody, like 3 or 4 months in the future, and somebody come along and told them about faith and showed them these promises in God's Word. So they started standing. They started standing. And they started standing. And she didn't get no better. All these months, 3 or 4, whatever was, came and went. No change. They stood on the promises. The day come for the surgery, and they get up that morning, and the wife says, what are we going to do? He said, we ain't going. The promises of God are, she's healed, and we are not going to that doctor. Now they had seen no change in their daughter, none whatsoever. But that evening, she was totally healed. Totally. That day, that girl's perfectly normal today. Now, God was waiting. He wasn't in a hurry. You going to trust me or them doctors? Who are you going to trust? Okay, if you want to trust a doctor, go ahead and let them do the surgery. I ain't going to do nothing for you because you ain't believing me. But when they made a statement, when the daddy made a statement, we ain't going. We're going to cancel the surgery. We're going to trust God. Within 24 hours, actually within 12 hours, that little girl was completely healed. And she's still healed today. Is God a faith God? Does He expect us to come to Him in faith, nothing wavering? That's what He said, isn't it? Let's go to that one last scripture. We're going to quit. I said we were going to quit on this one, but not exactly. Okay, one more promise, only one more, and then we're going to quit because it is 10 minutes to 4, huh? No, 10 minutes to 5. Okay, so I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Praise God. Okay, let's go to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and I want to show you what God will do when you don't do it His way. James 1, 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith. How much wavering? Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. When you believe, Lord, you can deliver me from smoking, I hope you can, Lord. He says, forget it. I ain't going to help you. But you say, Lord, I know with you nothing's impossible. He said, no problem, girl. We take care of that now. I'll kick them devils right out of you. And He's in control, isn't He, Jennifer? Isn't it amazing what God will do? How you can get set free with the Word? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You and praise You, Lord, for this beautiful day. I thank You for Your Word. I thank you, Lord, that as long as we walk in love, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. But Lord, we've got to walk in love there. We've got to walk in love. We've got to walk in no sin to walk in grace and not be under the law. Thank you, Lord, that in this, to walk in love, all of the law is fulfilled. We do no damage to nobody. And Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege to teach your word. And Lord, all that come for prayer, I ask you to meet every need they have. They're going to come in faith. We're going to pray in faith. And I believe it's done for every one of them today in the name of Jesus. Lord, with you, nothing is hard. Just like Paul said, why do you believe that the God we serve is not able to raise the dead? He can raise the dead. He can do anything. All you got to do is believe. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Now, Lord, bless us as we go forth this week. And, Lord, we ask you to bring us back here again next Sunday afternoon one more time. And, Lord, we ask you to watch over us this week as all of us that will work, that will come to the Minister Center, that we work on the building this week. Give us a blessed week. And we may get a long ways on that building this week. And, Lord, I thank you for using us to build that building so we can serve you in that building. And, Lord, I thank you for it. Now, bless us all and watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen.